Navage helps clear nasal passages that are often clogged because of seasonal allergies. Navage gently flushes a pure, refreshing saline solution through your nasal passages to clear out congestion, sucking out that springtime pollen and other irritants trapped in your nose. Navage is available online at Navage.com or in stores at Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Rite Aid, and Target. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Utah, rescue teams in Salt Lake County have recovered the bodies of two skiers buried in yesterday's avalanche.
After initially having to give up on recovery efforts on Thursday because of snow and dangerous conditions, Friday's attempt to get to the bodies of the two skiers, 23 and 32 years old, was successful. The two skiers were completely buried by the avalanche, which was several feet deep and a couple of hundred feet wide. A third skier was able to dig himself out safely. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Volatile storms targeting the southeast today. Tornadoes spotted near Tallahassee, Florida, adding to the tornado outbreak across the country this week. And the hush money trial of Donald Trump adjourned for the week. Trump is accused of falsifying business records and payments to Stormy Daniels to keep an alleged affair from voters ahead of the 2016 election. Monday, former Trump fixer Michael Cohen, who made the payments to Daniels, will take the stand. This is ABC News. There's newly released body cam video of the fatal police shooting of Roger Fortson, an active-duty U.S. airman who is black, in his own home last week in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. His family fighting for the video's release and now demanding answers. ABC's Pierre Thomas has more on the incident.
The officer announces his presence at Fortson's apartment after receiving a report of a disturbance.
Sheriff's office, open the door!
Fortson appears and is shot almost instantaneously. There appears to be a gun in Fortson's right hand, but it's pointing downward, never aimed at the officer, who immediately fires, striking Fortson in the chest and arm. Fortson later died at the hospital.
Beach Boys legend Brian Wilson, now under a court conservatorship following his dementia diagnosis. His wife died in January. Wilson's family says and insists it agrees that the arrangement is necessary. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You give and you give. It's time to get with Straight Talk Wireless. You get a reliable 5G network and unlimited data and a Samsung Galaxy A14 included with the activation of a Silver Unlimited plan. Yeah! So you can give your janky phone to your kid. Yeah!
Switch to Straight Talk. Find us at Walmart and StraightTalk.com. For network management practices, visit StraightTalk.com. Requires in-store activation. Device offer ends 6/9/24. Taxes and fees apply.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. A man is charged in a fatal hit-and-run on Milwaukee's South Side last weekend. 33-year-old Luis Perez Garcia is accused of hitting and killing 39-year-old Maykal Gutierrez and 41-year-old Osberto Gutierrez. According to a criminal complaint, the brothers were standing near a parked car early Sunday morning when they and the car were allegedly hit by Perez Garcia's vehicle. The complaint states Perez Garcia told police he was driving home from a bar at the time of the crash. It adds that Wisconsin Department of Transportation records show that Perez Garcia was never issued a driver's license. He faces up to 62 years in prison if he's convicted on all counts. A 5-month-old girl has died after being run over by a vehicle in Shawnee County. The sheriff's office there says the incident happened Wednesday evening in Bondwell. Paramedics who arrived at the scene began life-saving measures on the infant before she was flown to a Green Bay area hospital where she died. Deputies say the girl's parents and the person driving the vehicle cooperated with authorities. Investigation into the incident is ongoing. In the face of pro-Palestinian protests, this semester has been far from easy for Jewish students on the UW-Madison campus. UW Law School student Samantha Crane says it's unlike anything she's ever experienced.
Being Jewish, obviously, this is something like I've never seen before, never experienced before on campus. Obviously, anti-Semitism is an age-old problem, has existed for a long time, but it's never been so up close, up front, in my face like it's been this year.
Crane says it's her view that university officials are placating protesters and are nervous about removing the campus encampment despite ordering it removed. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a quick system strikes early this evening, bringing showers and a few claps of thunder. It'll quickly push on out, clearing our skies. And the northern lights are expected to dance overnight. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Corn and soybeans.
Live with concluded corrosion via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon we'll chat with Ben Brown from Mizzou. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, so is that how it works? We just kind of corrode our way into the end of the week?
That's right. Although we've concluded the corrosion.
Good.
Yes.
Good. I don't know if I can take any more.
No.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. At the start of the week, I'm thinking that I'm probably somewhere in the range of 80-85% good to excellent.
Okay.
But by the time we get to the end of the week, sometimes, you know, when there's travel involved,
sure.
I get a little beat down. Yeah, I'm probably closer to the, I'm going to say 60% poor to very poor.
Yeah, see, I've got you off 12.3% from a year ago as of the end of this week. It's chip condition ratings is what it is.
The CCI. Oh, my gosh.
Welcome to AgriTalk.
I'm Chip. Yeah. That is Davis.
You've been all the way down to Texas and back this week. All the way to Texas and back, bro. That's impressive. Yeah, you and Joe both.
Did that in like, I don't know, 30 hours, something like that.
I mean, I think it takes 30 hours just to drive east to west across Texas, doesn't it?
Oh, I think it might. It might. Yeah, no doubt about it. So I had a great trip. Great trip. Met some great people. Yeah. Talked about what is happening on the GBRC ranch and got a lot of good information there. Big report day today. Got the first winter wheat crop estimate of the year. We got USDA's first official look at the new crop marketing year on corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, and some of the other crops as well. Sorghum, rice, they were all included in there. We will keep our focus on corn, soybeans, and wheat here this afternoon in the conversation with Ben Brown from University of Missouri. It's Ben does a great job breaking these reports down and pulling what is really important. The grain markets reacted very nicely to the reports, Davis.
They liked something in there.
They certainly did, and you got to break it all down to the bottom line, and that's the carryover numbers. And corn carryover for the current marketing year and for the next marketing year, below trade expectations, and the corn market certainly reflected that with today's trade. So, okay, let's get to some of the details. You ready?
Let's start at the beginning. USDA's first winter wheat crop estimate of the year put production at 1.278 billion bushels. That's up 30 million bushels from last year, but about 38 million bushels below the average pre-report trade estimate. Old crop carryover was trimmed 10 million bushels and increased the export estimate, but new crop carryover projected at 766 million bushels is about 20 million bushels above trade expectations. The potential for freeze damage on the Russian wheat crop grown in central production areas supported wheat this week and gave prices a lift heading into the weekend. July hard red winter wheat futures opened on session lows and closed near session highs. The wheat market spent the last 4 days this week inside of Monday's trading range. July HRW wheat futures today 21.5 cents higher, 673.25. July SRW wheat up 26 cents to 663.5. July spring wheat closed at 720, up 16.25 cents, Chip.
Yeah, big rally on Monday, spent 3 days giving it back and got most of it back today with a really nice move to the upside. Now, on the week, July soft red winter wheat futures up 41 cents. Listen to these spreads. So July SRW up 41 cents, July HRW up 23 cents, and July spring wheat up 5.5 cents.
Looky there.
So the volume market, the Chicago market, the SRW market is what led the way to the upside.
Old crop corn carryover was cut 100 million bushels from last month, with the tally about 80 million bushels below the average pre-report trade guess. USDA sees 50 million bushel increases in corn for ethanol use and in corn exports. New crop corn carryover at 2.102 billion bushels, about 180 million bushels below the average trade guess. That provided incentive for some short covering in corn futures to wrap up the week. July corn today opened on session lows and closed near session highs to get back up to Monday's settlement. July corn futures were 13.25 cents higher at 469.75. September corn up 13 cents to 480. December corn futures closed at 492. That's up 12 cents today. Chip?
Yeah, much more level market in corn between the old crop and the new crop. July corn up 9.5 cents on the week. December corn up 9.25.
Well, Chip, July soybeans opened slightly higher and spiked support at yesterday's low ahead of the USDA report. Spillover support from wheat and corn helped bean prices post a high-range close, although the market ended well below the high of the week. Old crop bean carryover was unchanged from last month and is expected to climb 105 million bushels into the 24-25 marketing year. The heavier-than-expected bean carryover projection limited buying interest in bean futures today. July soybeans 10.5 cents higher, 12.19. August beans up 10.25 to 12.20.5. November beans closed at 12.05.75, up 5.25 cents today.
Heavy rains in Rio Grande do Sul, bringing into question the quality and even the total supply on the crop coming out of southern Brazil. So that had a bit of an impact today. Bean oil today was 180 points higher, and the soybean meal market was lower. So there was some spread activity in the products. On the week, July soybeans up 4 cents, November soybeans up 4.75 cents, July soybean oil up 136 points, and July bean meal down 30 cents a ton.
Well, Chip, cotton carryover for the old crop marketing year was estimated down 100,000 bales from last month, but the first new crop projection of the year put carryover up 1.3 million bales.
Yeah.
Cotton futures tried to rally early in the week, but fell back to the middle of the week's range for today's close. July cotton today was 129 points lower at 77.31, Chip.
Boy, that market has really had a difficult time trying to find its footing. And no question about it, July cotton on the week was still down 75 points. So it wasn't a terrible week, but not a good performance.
Let's go to the livestocks, where heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices were $1.19 lower this morning, but movement over 114 loads helped support live cattle futures.
Yeah.
June fats were 20 cents higher, all told, 176.15. October futures up 42.5 to 177.42.5. August feeder futures, 15 cents lower, 250.90. And on the snout side, June lean hogs established support at 97.50 this week. June hogs today, 65 cents higher, 98.37.5. October contract up 50 cents, 84.70, Chip.
Yeah, traders are definitely looking for some strength in the cash market, the cash cattle market this week. I don't know if they're going to get a lot of it or not, but that is the expectation. On the week, June live cattle still down 52.5 cents. August feeder cattle futures down $3.85. June lean hog futures down 57.5 cents this week. We are going to get some perspective on the USDA World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates, winter wheat crop estimates, from Ben Brown at University of Missouri, coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls and seminar discounts, plus access to research. Interested in consulting? Agmarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to agmarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Friday afternoon. It's a report day from USDA. The first official look at the new crop marketing year, updates to the old crop marketing year, the first winter wheat crop estimate of the season. So a lot going on today. And to help us break it down, we've got Ben Brown, ag economist there at the University of Missouri. Ben, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Chip. Yeah. It is an absolutely gorgeous day here in Missouri, and we're just hours away from Mizzou's graduation, and the markets are up. What's not to be, you know, happy and excited about today?
Love it. Love it. Man, yeah. It's a big day for you. Thank you so much for making time for us.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to do it. We it's always exciting to come on the show and talk with you guys. And I listen most days. I think it was this week. I think it was the beginning of this week. Davis was talking about having a new favorite barbecue place in Kansas City. And I'm intrigued. We're going to have to talk about this because I consider myself to be rather in tune with the Kansas City barbecue scene. So just FYI, we'll have to compare notes.
Out on Rainbow, it's on the Kansas side.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about. On a hill?
You probably do, yeah. I may be late to the party on this one, but dang, it was good. It was awful good.
Good deal.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So, graduation day, man. That's this is a big day for you, isn't it?
You know, it's kind of filled with a range of emotions. You know, when you spend as much time with students as what we get the privilege of doing, you know, you get attached to them. And so you're excited for them because they're leaving here and going off and doing great things. And you're excited and you're proud at the same time, but you're also kind of sad because you've watched them grow. I often say that this is my harvest. If farmers are growing a crop and they invest in it and they spend all this time worrying about it, you know, we do the kind of same thing with our students. And so, it's we're so proud, like so dang proud of them. And our students, you know, coming out of college these days are wicked smart and wicked sharp and just really excited. So,
yep. We've got some great minds that are staying in agriculture, and that is really exciting for the future there. There's no question about it, Ben. Good work. Okay. I'm willing to go wherever you want to go in the conversation here today, Ben, when we're talking about these reports. But if we could, let's go ahead and start with that corn supply and demand report. The old crop came in below trade expectations, and the new crop carryover projection came in below trade expectations, and the market reflected it today. Kind of a win-win-win.
Yeah, I think this is probably the strongest, or, you know, if you want to think of it in terms of the bullish, this may be the most bullish aspect of today's report was in the corn supply and demand. You have to feel pretty good if you're a producer and you see a 181 national average corn yield and at the same time a 2.1 billion bushel carryout, right? Like the fact that that's not up around 2.4, 2.5 billion bushels at a 181 national average yield has got to make you feel pretty good that we've seen demand come back in some areas. You know, we could go through, you know, all these areas, but I think, you know, you hit it on the head. We saw old crop corn ending stocks come in, you know, right at 100 million bushels lower month over month and well below where the trade was expecting it heading in today. That was a signal of some stronger demand, right? We saw 50 million bushels of increased corn ethanol demand and 50 million bushels of corn export demand. And so those are good things. And then if you want to turn it over to the new crop side here for just a second, you know, again, you know, that new crop carryout coming in well below expectations as well, 182 million bushels. Yep. But if we correct it for the surprise on the old crop side, right? So like if we correct it and just say, okay, let's assume that all the analysts knew what the old crop carryout was going to be, and we make that adjustment, even the new crop numbers were 100 million bushels more bullish than what expectations were. And so very strong demand, or well, at least, you know, a return of demand after you know, after some periods of some struggles, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the thing that encourages me about the new crop numbers is that we don't have some ridiculous pie in the sky numbers on the demand side. Total use, 14.805 billion bushels, is up 100 million bushels from what's projected at the end of in the current marketing year. Ben, that's growth, but it's nothing that we can't do.
Yeah, so I'm going to kind of foreshadow here a little bit and say that you're right. I think we're right. I'm not sure I can say that about another commodity that we're going to probably talk about here in a little bit. But on the corn side, I think these are very realistic expectations. And in some ways, you know, you could start to argue that this is maybe even a little bit on the conservative side, right? We're gonna pick apart that 181 national average corn yield here for the next 2 months, but you know, heavily for the next 2 months. And I certainly see these demand numbers as being very realistic. And given some of the planting challenges that we've had here as of late, when I say planting challenges, I mean, there's just areas of the country that are struggling to get corn planted. And we're going to be starting talking about that percentage of the U.S. corn crop that was planted late and might have a yield drag. So, you know, maybe a little bit of a bullish factor without even starting to think about summer weather, just from that standpoint. And then on the international side, right, we've still, you know, USDA moved Brazilian they lowered Brazilian corn 2 million metric tons, and then Argentina corn was down 2 million metric tons month over month, both, you know, decreasing, and we could even see a little bit more decreases there as we move ahead. So opportunities is maybe how I should phrase this. There's the opportunity that prices could move higher.
Yeah. And those global numbers that you were talking about, when you take it all straight down to the bottom line, and that'd be the global carryover estimates, corn 13.08 million metric tons for the old crop for 23-24, but it's down more than 5 million ton from the estimate that we had in April. And then looking out at the new crop marketing year, the first projection of the global corn ending stocks, 312.27, so not down quite a million metric tons from what is expected at the end of the current marketing year, but still got the trend pointed in the right direction, which is down. And Ben, I feel like there's a lot of corn traders out there that are having to rewrite their playbook for how they're going to trade this market for the next 6-8 months.
Yeah, you can maybe heard me chuckle a little bit. Boy, has this story changed over the last 4 months, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, you know, I'll even go back to when we got the Ag Outlook Forum numbers back in February, right? You know, we were sitting there and we were looking at almost 430 million bushels more corn supply than what we're sitting today. Right. So just even here in the U.S., we've reduced corn supply. Some of that, you know, good chunk of that was on the acreage side, of course. But now we're getting some supply side issues elsewhere in the globe, and we're picking up and holding demand. Right. So this is this is a thing that 4 months ago we were talking about how weak corn demand was and could we see it come back? And oh, what if we plant 95 million acres of corn and we have a 180 you know, bushel per acre yield, we could be looking at close to 3 billion bushels of corn carryout. And that picture has just really changed. And so I agree with you. I think there are some people that are changing their playbook and we're rethinking, okay, now let's add in, you know, a weather issue. If we have weather challenges, a drought or something like that, that becomes very severe in certain parts of the U.S.
Right.
This picture has just changed, I guess is how I should say. And I'll admit, like, 4 months ago, I was probably sitting there saying, "Oh, I'm a little bearish. You know, we could be seeing low $4 corn, and we've got some opportunities to price mid to even upper $4 corn right now for new crop." So,
right, you know, but the thing is, that was 4 months ago. Markets have changed a lot in the last 4 months. We've seen a significant amount of price pressure, and it's allowed some of the demand side of things to change. The lower prices seem to be attracting some demand, which is great. And like you said, we're going to be looking at and debating this yield outlook for corn and the potential to get to 181 bushels per acre on a national average yield is going to be a hot topic of discussion. First up, though, Ben, is can we get to the 90 million acres planted with the problems that some areas are seeing? That's the next big number, isn't it?
Yeah, I do. I do believe that that is the next big number. And again, I'll point out my own faults here sometimes too. I'm young in my career, but I constantly believe in the American farmer. And I always say that, you know, when we start hearing about doubts of can we get the corn crop planted, I'm always like, the American farmer will find a way. And we've had some years where, you know, 2019 being, you know, the year that sticks out, right, to where, yep, it just never provided us that window. You know, we're getting later in yep, the planting season here, right? We're running up against some challenges, and there are certain parts of the corn, yep, belt that are still wet and expecting another inch this week, and that's going to, yep, delay them a little bit more.
Yep, no doubt. Okay, hey, Ben, when we come back, we're going to do the same thing with soybeans.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 21.5 cents higher, 673 and a quarter. July SRW wheat up 26 cents to 663 and one half. July corn futures were 13.25 cents higher at 469 and three quarters. December corn futures closed at 492. That's up 12 cents today. July soybean futures 10.5 cents higher at 12.19. November beans closed at 12.05 and three quarters, up 5.25 cents. July cotton today 129 points lower, 77.31. On your livestock's June fat cattle, 20 cents higher, 176.15. August feeders fell 15 cents to 250.90. And June lean hogs 65 cents higher at 98.37 and one half. Hey, get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
O'Galley Cheese Factory would like to thank everyone in the local WRDN listening area for their support of our local dairy farmers and processors. O'Galley Cheese is proud to be part of such a strong community. We salute all our dairy farmers for their continued hard work and dedication throughout the years. For all your cheese needs, the O'Galley Cheese retail store is open 7 days a week. O'Galley Cheese is located just north of Durand on Highway 25.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Clouds are increasing this afternoon as a quick system strikes early this evening, bringing showers and a few claps of thunder. It'll quickly push on out, clearing our skies. And the northern lights are expected to dance overnight. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Oh.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. We are in the middle of a conversation with Ben Brown, ag economist from the University of Missouri. We're breaking down the USDA supply and demand and crop production reports that we got earlier today. Ben, let's hop to soybeans. Old crop carryover was left at 340 million bushels. That was as the trade expected. And the new crop carryover kind of bulging up to 445 million bushels in the first balance sheet of the year. That's up 105 million bushels. It's again, some analysts are changing their attitudes when it comes to this market.
So I'm a little concerned, I guess, maybe is the way I'd put it. Or I think the soybean balance sheet that was presented today, maybe a little more optimistic than what I am. Let me put it that way, in terms of on the demand side. So we see soybean crush up 125 million bushels year over year. Yeah. Can we hit that? Absolutely. Is it going to take continued crush at the levels we've seen plus some? Absolutely. And I'm not 100%. I mean, I don't know if we can get there, right? All the, you know, some of the deterioration that we've seen in the soy oil market over the last couple of months, and just, you know, even companies pulling back some of their investment in crush expansion, or, you know, delaying some of those announcements, makes me maybe a little bit uneasy that we'll see, you know, the percentage of capacity of the crush industry that we've been seeing continue. So certainly we can get to 125 million bushels, but, you know, I think that's an area where I was surprised maybe to see that large of an increase. Exports up 125 million bushels as well, year over year.
Right.
That's another area where, did we get there? Absolutely. And we've got a long way to go, you know, between now and then, between the end of the marketing year of 2025 to be able to say, okay, yeah, we improved. But the signals are certainly not suggesting that we're going to see that strong of an export number. Right. And then you add in the news that we've heard, you know, today about, you know, an increase in tariffs on Chinese products, and we wait to see what the Chinese respond with, right?
Yeah,
it leads me to believe that we could be in a, you know, in another scenario to where we struggle on the soybean export front, that, you know, some of our largest buyers in the world buy up soybeans from other places in lieu of our export season. So I think the demand challenge or, you know, the increases that we saw on the soybean balance sheet were certainly optimistic. They're probably they're more optimistic than where I was. And that's at a 10.2% stocks use carryout, right? So that, I mean, we're at a, you know, a plentiful level, and I sit here and say that my bias is that maybe that ending stocks number actually grows more between now and the end.
You know, the I don't want to say that it's an encouraging estimate that we got from USDA, but it's all of those changes on the demand side, I think, are quote unquote justified by that national average on-farm cash soybean price for 24-25 at 11.20, down $1.35 from what is expected at the end of the current marketing year. That suggests to me that they are anticipating that this demand will come to the market because of lower prices. There's no guarantee that that happens, but at least they're giving us reason. Yes, that signal. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, that signal. And certainly, you know, we could see something similar to what we've seen on corn, with lower prices bringing back demand and helping to really rally this picture. You know, I look at today's soybean report, and I don't necessarily see a bullish report. I actually see a bearish report. Yet we saw soybean prices up, you know, 10 cents, double digits here. In some ways, I think that was a little sympathetic to the corn market, you know, rallying in those nations. Because, you know, even when we look at the South American production numbers for soybeans, yes, they, you know, we saw a slight deterioration in that Brazilian soybean number, but it was not as far as what market analysts had anticipated going into the day. Same way on the Argentina soybean crop. It was left at 50 million bushels, but you know, the trade was expecting a little bit lower. So
okay,
there's plentiful soybeans, and certainly we could see the price drop and pick it back up some demand. But you know, there's also some challenges, right? Like China is kind of the wild card out there.
Yeah.
Does make me a little bit concerned.
As you were talking about that, Ben, I wanted to emphasize that I think you're making a great point. There may not be an official announcement from China that we're retaliating against the trade policies or the policies in general of the United States, but it's just been like a rolling retaliation in this slowdown of demand for U.S. product and soybeans in particular that you can't deny it. It's happening that China is moving away, and it's got more to do with just price.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we're seeing it in our new crop bookings. Yeah. Our 2024-2025 new crop soybean bookings are the lowest that we've had. I went all the way back to 2005, right? So I went all the way back then and still didn't find necessarily the bottom.
Really?
So, it's kind of, and if we look at these new crop bookings, even relative to 2019 marketing year, because, you know, the trade war or the trade spat happened in the spring of 18. And so it would have been the 1920 export sales that would have been the new crop bookings at the time. You know, we're below those levels at this point as well. And so, you know, it has been a evolution, I guess, if you will, maybe of where it's just kind of been constant. And now we're starting to see it in spite of us having soybeans to sell, right? Like we expect that we'll have soybeans available and be able to ship them. And, you know, the crushing industry is certainly picking up some of that demand as well, but you know, we've seen a little bit of slowdown there as well. And we're not seeing the export sales return, right? Even in spite of lower prices and maybe even some of the excess domestic supply that we have. But that's just my way of saying, when I look at the soybean balance sheet, I sit here and I can say, okay, my bias is this is an optimistic balance sheet and it could move lower relatively quickly.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. On the old crop, the big cut to the seed use, the big increase in the residual, they're just moving some bushels around. But the important thing here is the big cut on the seed use. They're going to come with a whole new methodology on how they estimate seed use and just how many beans are used for seed each year, aren't they?
Yeah, so I laughed a little bit and I had to go ask people. I went around and I asked, I said, who remembers the 2001-2002 soybean seed methodology? Because in some ways, yeah, so you mentioned it's a new methodology, but they're saying they're going all the way back to the old methodology from 22 years ago. And I asked, I said, I was asking all these questions about that because it made me chuckle a little bit because certainly we have seen a trend of fewer populations of soybeans, right? We've lowered the population of seed use, but I don't get the sense that that was, you know, any different back in 2001, 2002. And so I don't know the answer as to why USDA felt like they needed to change the methodology there, but it seemed, I don't want to say random, but it definitely was a surprise, right? Like that's a surprise that you don't normally expect.
Right. So. Right. That's exactly right. And if they made that change, they've got some evidence someplace somehow that is telling them that they've been overestimating their seed use and they're going to make a correction for it going forward. So we'll dig into that a little bit deeper as time goes on. We got just a couple of minutes left. Take me to the wheat reports. What stood out to you?
I'm glad you asked me about wheat. I love wheat, but no one ever asked me about wheat. So thanks for asking. you know, to me, the number that stood out here the most was the Kansas wheat number. We look at that Kansas wheat yield, and it's not a whole lot better than it was last year. And keep in mind, last year was a period that was, you know, Kansas and the Southern Plains struggled with drought. And the fact that we're not seeing a huge increase in production in Kansas wheat, I think really allowed this wheat market to rally today. We're going to probably see some more short coverings of wheat in the next couple of weeks. And so I do think, you know, there's kind of renewed optimism that wheat prices could move higher because we're seeing some supply challenges, especially in the Western Corn Belt. If we look at the soft red winter wheat market, your Eastern Corn Belt states, including yep. Missouri, not as strong of production as last year, but last year was just amazing, right? Like just very, very strong, very good yields, yep. Not as good, but still good. And now we're seeing a little bit of price rally associated with that as well. So that was to me the interesting numbers, was just looking at that and saying, okay, we thought Kansas was improving and they have gotten some precipitation in certain parts of this year, but it's not enough to really justify increasing their wheat yields.
So. Exactly. Exactly. And for a lot of listeners right now, maybe the most important thing is that wheat's willingness to move to the upside is taking some weight off corn and soybeans.
Absolutely. Yep, yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. And it's certainly playing into this picture as well. So.
Yes. Yep. No doubt. No doubt. Ben, great conversation, as always. As always, great conversation here this morning. You always this afternoon, you always do a great job breaking down the supply and demand reports for us, and we certainly appreciate you making time for us on such an important day down there at the University of Missouri.
Well, thanks, Chip. Thanks. Have a great afternoon.
You too. You too. That is Ben Brown, Ag Economist at the University of Missouri. Okay. Now, when we come back, Davis and I, we've got a few other details that we need to get to in the supply and demand report. We'll take a look at some of the global production numbers, go over some of the price outlook that USDA gave us, and put a wrap on an eventful week in the grains.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
If you've been injured in an accident that wasn't your fault, we have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions. They'll tell you if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-460-3550 to speak with a live person now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
I lock up my Old Spice Fiji aluminum-free dry spray to keep that 24/7 lasting freshness safe for myself. Fresh coconuts, palm trees in the wind. It's like catching waves in Fiji. Actually, I just talked myself into a refreshing spritz of Fiji. My Old Spice is missing! No!
To win in basketball takes a can-do spirit. So shave with Barbasol and inspire your team. Raise that red, white, and blue can and yell, "We can do this!" If it doesn't work, you still got a great shave. Barbasol, it's a can of can-do.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. And more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report,
a timely, trusted tradition.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
Go outside, I wanna be. Felt so much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside, I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson here. Hopefully you get a chance to do one or the other of those two things. I mean, ultimately both. Sometime this weekend. Good luck with that, everyone. Let's see. Oh, this on my Facebook Messenger. Large package outside the front door. Smiley face. I think a honeydew job just arrived. The wife ordered a shelf.
Yeah.
You can put that together, right? Can't you? Heck yeah!
Oh, is it IKEA?
It's from Amazon, but it is definitely all assembly required type of deal. Nah.
I'm sorry.
I'll do it standing on one foot just for the showmanship. That's what I'll
really?
Do. That's how I roll. You betcha.
Wow.
I mean, anybody can put together a bookshelf. Let's be honest, right? It's about style points, baby. Like, for example, I'm sitting in a brand new chair today. I just bought it yesterday. I already have it put together. Huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of a overdoer, aren't you?
Well, compared to a normal man, I suppose so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Wow.
Yeah. Good conversation with Ben Brown. Yeah. He's so good on these reports.
He is.
He knows the
numbers that matter.
He pulls out the details and says, yep, that's a thing.
Yep.
Very interesting. He felt like, we'll start here. We'll see if this lights your fire. Felt like maybe they were slightly conservative on corn. Did I have that right?
On corn demand.
Yes.
For the new crop.
Oh, here's demand. Yep.
Yeah, because they added 100 million bushels to the export, 50 million bushels to the export number and 50 million bushels to the corn for ethanol usage number. So food, seed, and industrial overall. But that's growth. That is a response to a market that's been beaten down pretty good. So that's not like we're anticipating this big jump in demand that's going to take us, is going to fix all of the corn market's issues. That's not what it is. That's just solid growth. And when you realize that that keeps your carryover in the low twos,
mm-hmm.
with a national average corn yield at 181 bushels per acre, which we've never come close to really doing.
Yeah.
So the question is, if it's not 181, is it 179, 178, 177, 76? What is it? And how many millions of bushels do we need to take off of the total supply of 16.7, I believe it was, 16.7 billion bushels? How many million bushels do you need to take off? And how many of those can you take off while maintaining total demand of 14.8 and potentially even grow from 14.8 billion bushels? That's the corn market story now. It's a lot different. The conversation is a lot different at 480. Yeah, actually, Deese is 490, isn't it? I think, what is it, 492? 492.
The right thing. There you go. Yep.
Yeah, 492 on the close and the Deese. But still, the story is a lot different at 492 than what it was at 540, 550. Because at 540, 550, it was, going to slow down our use. We're going to have all these acres. There was all kinds of negative Nellies that were out there for good reason, and they were right. They were right. We saw the market set back dramatically from those levels. But here we are at 490, and we're building demand. And all we got to was 90 million unplanted. And it's a little easier to be a little positive on that corn market going forward at these current numbers.
Okay, so if we're calling this, when you're talking about demand growth, and this just sort of being what we should just grow naturally as part of the system from time to time.
Yep.
Can we dig, am I digging too deep? If they, all right. Well, I'm just trying to say, does that mean that USDA knows something about ethanol that hasn't been said out loud yet?
Oh, no.
Because would they have pushed it harder if somehow they had gotten the message secretly that, we're gonna go ahead and do this year-round thing. We're going to start tomorrow, and am I getting weird? A little?
Maybe just a touch, but, okay. You know, that makes me feel good going into the weekend.
Happy to help.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Now I don't think they know anything that the rest of us don't have a clue on when it comes to that demand on the corn for ethanol side of things.
Okay.
A 50 million bushel bump is just that. It's a bump.
Yeah.
It's not like all of a sudden we're looking at runaway expansion like we went through in the 07, 08, 09 period. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's get to this.
Go on.
National Weather Service. Should we go there?
Ooh, already. This sounds good. I wonder what you've got. Huh?
Well, we've only got about a minute left here. There's the music. We've got near normal temperatures expected in the central and western Corn Belt. We've got above normal temperatures expected in Wisconsin, far eastern Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and points to the east of that. So call it near normal to above normal on the temperature side for May 16th through the 20th. We've still got above normal precipitation expected over the entire Corn Belt.
Yeah.
Higher odds in the central Corn Belt than the western belt, but still above normal. Then the 8 to 14 day for May 18th through the 24th. Can you believe that already? May 18th through the 24th.
Yep.
Near normal temperatures expected over the Corn Belt. We've got above normal temperatures in the southern or in the south. And then it's a mix of near normal to slightly above normal precipitation in the expectations on precipitation May 18th through the 24th. All right. Thank you so much for listening this week. We really appreciate you guys. Got to come back on Monday morning. We're going to have a conversation with Machinery Pete, of course. And we've got a great week planned for you. Be sure to tune in.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Smart businesses advertise on local radio. Durand's WRDN, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Business owners, listen up. What's the one advertising method that doesn't cost your customers money? Radio. It's portable. It's in cars, offices, homes, and businesses, and free to your potential customers. Radio works. Ask our advertisers, and you'll want your business on Durand's WRDN Radio.